truer words were never sung as what we just sang. His grace reaches me. And we're thankful for the presence of each one here this morning. If we have visitors, we want to let you know that you are our honored guest. We welcome you back at any and every opportunity that you can to be with us. For those of you who are viewing via our live stream, thank you for viewing this morning. I hope if it's possible for you via live stream that you have a Bible perhaps in front of you that you too can follow along with us throughout our sermon in the Scriptures. Jeff, I appreciate your good job with your prayer this morning. Thank you so much for remembering me as well as our good sisters, Sister Annie and Sister Jackie. We will be broadening that idea of prayer, Lord willing, this afternoon. Just how valuable, how powerful, and how important our prayers are when we pray to God. So to say that we as God's children are in a spiritual conflict would probably be the one of the most understatements of the year. There's another song in our hymn book. We sing it from time to time. It's called A Mighty Fortress is Our God. One of those verses says it like this: our ancient foe. Now keep in mind that we are in a spiritual conflict, and the song relates to that conflict. It says, our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and his power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. Shows you the power of Satan. However, another verse goes like this: a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. So yes, God is our answer. He is our helper amid the ills of our lives. And yes, God will prevail. We've all talked about four walls in the past few weeks. We started the series on pulling down strongholds, those walls in our life that hinder us. Perhaps self-inflicted walls, if we're not careful, that hinder us from serving and being as close to God as we ought, and knowing that Satan will help build between us those walls if we allow him. And as we mentioned in one of the series, I can't remember which one it was specifically, but Satan is patient. And by that I'm implying this: he will build that wall one brick at a time. And before we know it, there it is. Yeah, we talked about the wall of anxiety and worry. We kind of combined those two in the first series. After we looked at anxiety and worry, we looked at that wall of depression that many are dealing with and struggling with from time to time. And how that depression will oftentimes lead to the next wall, the wall of stress. And how that wall of stress will lead to the wall of anger that we discussed last week. And with that wall of anger comes the next wall, the wall we're discussing this morning, the wall of bitterness. Is there anyone in our assembly this morning who is struggling with bitterness? It's become a part of your life. It's become a part of my life. You see, I hope, the importance of this series. How one issue builds upon the other issue. How that wall is being built. Again, not perhaps voluntarily. No one I've ever met wants to be depressed. No one I've ever met wants to have anxieties and worries. No one that I've ever met wants to be full of stress. No one I've ever met wants to be full of anger. And no one that I've ever met wants to be full of bitterness. And yet, church, It can be among us. We talked about three issues that bring on these negatives. What causes anxiety? What causes worry? Hey, what causes depression and what causes this stress and anger? What causes this bitterness in my life? Do you remember those three things? People, circumstances, and things. And there's probably a host of others. But at least those three to start off with do just that. So in this study, we're going to look at the fifth stronghold, that wall of bitterness. Again, what causes these five strongholds? People, circumstances, and things. Things in life, yeah. So here we are at the end of our series of pulling down strongholds. How are we going to deal with it? Let me ask again, are you fighting bitterness this morning of some at some level, some form, some sort, perhaps? And if so, okay, let's look at it. Those of you viewing live stream, are you dealing with bitterness? I certainly know of one who is. She's a high school friend of mine that we graduated together. Oh, if you only knew her story. Everybody's got their stories. I understand that. But if you knew this lady's story, it's day in, it's day out, it's 365 days a year because of a circumstance in her life. She gets some relief from viewing through live stream. But just to throw this out, and perhaps this very morning, last week, her daughter grabbed the phone and threw it down because we were talking about anger. Yeah, that's just one of the many issues, bless her heart, that she's dealing with. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're talking about bitterness this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, I want to pick up reading at verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 12, picking up at verse number 12. Hebrews 12 reads, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." Watch verse 14. "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Verse 15. "Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Verse 16, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." Well, here we go. When we speak of bitterness, understand there's various ways we speak of it. For example, in the book of James, the next book over from Hebrews, chapter 3 at verse 11, James asks this all, or makes this all important statement and turns it into a question. He says, "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening?" James is saying, don't you see something's wrong with that? Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? If it does, there's something wrong with that spring. At verse 14 of James 3, and this is being used in the sense of, from the adjectives sense. "But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth." Now I want to use this term bitter from the noun perspective back in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 23. This is in regards to Simon the sorcerer and Peter responding to him after Simon tried to purchase the gift of God with money. Peter said, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness." That is an extreme condition of extreme wickedness, and you are bound by iniquity. Bitterness is a bad thing in the sense, in the form of a noun. We know you've tasted something bitter before, right? Maybe you've even smelt something bitter. How does that work with you? Well, just, you know, it's one of these things. We understand. Now I want you to turn your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and I want to pick up at verse 18. In fact, we can just read verse 18. Deuteronomy 29 at verse 18. Now let me go back. Let me go back to verse 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 29. And this is where where the covenant is being renewed by Moses at Moab. "I make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today, before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and we saw their abominations, we saw their idols which were among them, the wood, the stone, the silver, and the gold." Watch verse 18. "So that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and to serve other gods of these nations." Here it is. "And that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood." Wormwood was a plant that was very bitter to the taste. So again, the writer of Hebrews here, chapter 12, quotes from this covenant back here with Moses. But back to our context here in Hebrews chapter 11. What does the apostle want us to do? Look there at verse 14 again. He wants us to see the Lord. Do you see that? Yeah, verse 14, "Pursue peace with all people and pursue holiness, without which no one will" what? You can't see the Lord if you don't pursue after peace and holiness. And if you're not pursuing after peace and holiness, listen, you're going to have bitterness in your life. It's certainly going to come. He's saying here, we need to help someone through a spiritual struggle. Do you know someone who is struggling with bitterness? We have an obligation to help them. You may remember in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 2. "Bear you one another's burdens, and when you do that," Paul says, "and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know what we are to one another? We're burden bearers. That's what we are. We need to set a clear example for those folks to follow. Listen, one cannot do that. One cannot set the proper example to their brothers and sisters in Christ if they have a spirit of bitterness about them. I can't do it. We need to create a peaceful and pure atmosphere when we're around others. And again, if you have a heart of bitterness, you can't do that. So let's call that time out again. Do I have a heart of bitterness? Is bitterness inside of me? And I suggest to you strongly, if your bitterness is uncontrolled, unless you're working on removing that bitterness, if your bitterness is uncontrolled, it's going to eat your heart away. You can't follow God, you can't seek the Lord, and have a heart of bitterness. We'll touch on that here briefly. Look out for your brethren. That's what he's saying here in Hebrews 12. Look out for your brethren and look into your heart. Why? Look at verse 15. Lest anyone become a root of bitterness. Let's ask it like this. Do you know anyone who is full of bitterness? It may not be you. All right? Here's the question for us this morning. If you know of someone who is full of this bitterness that's just eating them alive, do you like being around that kind of person? Do you like being around all that negativity? All the other things that come with bitterness that Brother Lonnie read in Ephesians 4:31, which we'll look at here momentarily. You don't like being around that. So what do you do with those people? Well, we have a tendency just to kind of back off and ignore those people. Why? Because we don't want that bitterness to influence us. But is there anything we can do to influence them and approach them with their bitterness and about their bitterness? You see, when we talk about this bitter root, a root needs soil to flourish. In Isaiah 53 at verse 2, sometimes remarks are made from that prophet in regards to the Lord's table. At verse 2, it talks about Jesus being a root out of dry ground. Picture that just for a moment. A root out of dry ground. Not moist ground, but difficult ground. The seed that Jesus had to plant did not grow often in the soil of men's heart. What I'm saying is, oftentimes Jesus was rejected. A root out of dry ground. He wants to bring nourishment to people, and so many people will reject him. John 1:11, he came to his own and what? His own received him not. That happens. That happens with you and I today. The parable of the sower there in Luke 8, verses 11 through 14. Jesus talks about out of the four types of soil, how many is going to receive the word? One. One out of four. The other three are rejecting. Oh, they may buy into it for a time, and then here comes the cares and the riches and everything else of the world, and uproots that seed. A root of bitterness flourishes in the soil or in the heart of hurt feelings. Maybe you have hurt feelings this morning. Maybe that root of bitterness is starting to grow in your heart. And maybe it's making you a way that you really don't want to be like. That lets us know we've got to get control of this root of bitterness. I got to shake this thing. I got to get it out of my system. Because if I don't get this root of bitterness out of my system, guess what? You think things are bad now? You just wait and watch how the devil will play with you from here on out. Yeah. Let's look at this bad root of bitterness. At verse 15, look what it does. It will cause trouble. Did you see that in verse 15? Yeah, think about that. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, does what? Cause trouble. A person who has this root of bitterness within their heart, they're not happy, obviously. The people they are around are not happy because of this person's bitterness. It will cause trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, we don't have the rest of the day for this sermon. But anyone who's embittered, here's what the scripture says, will fall short of the grace of God. How's that for trouble? Yeah, let that sink in. That person will cause many, as the Bible says here, to become defiled. Bitterness, think about it. If not filtered out and removed, will eat our heart away. We'll go through life just as miserable and unhappy as one can be. Here's what verse 15 is simply saying and implying. The verse here is depicting a person harboring ill will towards someone, and then trying to persuade others to do the same. That's how dangerous bitterness is. That's why I used the example a moment ago. Do you enjoy being around a person who is full of bitterness? Of course not. Why? Lest you be contaminated with bitterness. Listen, that's how the devil wants it to work. I mean, again, just raise your hand if you like being around bitter people. You don't like that. And there's a reason you don't like that. Hebrews 12 at verse 14 lets us know that this root of bitterness will cause a separation. You see, people are stepping back. They're getting away from this type of person who is full of bitterness. Yeah, verse 14, pursue peace with all people, the Bible says, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. How about turning this bitterness in to the better? Instead of being bitter, why not work on being better? Is there anything wrong with that idea? There's not a thing wrong with that idea. In fact, that's what the Word of God wants us to do. We may have our moments of bitterness where something is really eating away at us. But we cannot, brothers and sisters, must not allow that root of bitterness to take root deeper in us where we've just become controlled by bitterness. You may know people like that. You may work with people like that. They're out there. God forbid that we be one of them. I said we may have our moments, but God expects us to work through our moments to get past it. And again, we'll touch on that in a moment. This holiness and bitterness cannot remain together in the same heart. They're opposites. Holiness, bitterness, do they mix? They don't mix. They're opposites. Bitterness will not only separate us from people, but it will also separate us from the Lord. Let's go over to 1 John for a moment, chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. Let's watch this, how it works. 1 John chapter 4. And let's read verses 20 and 21. Now remember, bitterness will not only separate us from people, bitterness will separate us from God. So John says it this way. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, John says he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Does that need any explanation? If it does, raise your hand. I'll gladly explain it. That's self-explanatory. I love God, I hate my brother. I'm so bitter against Mark Glass, I can't even stand to look over there on that side of the auditorium because I'm so bitter against Mark Glass. God, I love you so much. God, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Oh my, that's the mindset of some people. They are that shallow, brothers and sisters. Think about that. It's so much easier to talk about loving God here in this verse, than it is to test that love in a practical way. You know, talk's cheap. I can profess I love God all day long and yet be hypocritical and say I can't stand Mark Glass. Yeah, that just doesn't fit. So that leads us away, this bitterness. has controlled me to the point that I'm now leaving God. Brothers and sisters, the way we drive out bitterness is by pursuing peace and holiness. Did you get that? Jesus said, you be holy as I am holy, right? Peter talks about that. So we are to implement holiness in our lives as children of God. Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We are to follow the Prince of Peace. I know it requires sometimes taking steps to be a peacemaker. Isn't that one of those Beatitudes? Something like that. Yes, that's right. Matthew chapter 5, you know. So sometimes we're required to take our steps to being this peacemakers. It sometimes requires, listen to this, to get rid of this bitterness. It sometimes requires taking steps right back into the situation where we got hurt. Oh, Jim, I didn't need to. I was okay up to that point right there. No, that's part of the point. You got to resolve to get rid of it. And we'll say that for the conclusion here in a second. Yeah. Someone, listen, brothers and sisters, if this is within a congregation, and it's not at Inglewood that I know of, I would be able to pick up on that, I think, okay? But someone has to be the bigger Christian here. Someone has to initiate the resolve of this bitterness. And since I haven't followed Matthew 5, 43 and 44, since I haven't followed Matthew 18, 15, going to my brother and taking care of it, look what I've allowed to happen. Look what I've allowed to happen. I've allowed a root of bitterness to develop in my heart. Shame, shame, shame on us. When Jesus says, I can prevent that root of bitterness, you do it this way. You do it this way, and you won't have that root of bitterness. Hey, not only will it cause a separation, okay? Yeah, not only will it cause trouble, I suggest to you thirdly, it will cause this chain reaction. Here's our last point. In your Bibles there where Lonnie read in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, watch how this chain reaction works. Let all bitterness, not some of the bitterness, not bits and pieces of your bitterness or my bitterness, the Bible says let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, listen, with all malice. All that poisonous fruit began with bitterness. Bitterness is the first one mentioned there in Ephesians 4:31. Look at the trickle-down effect of that bitterness. When one is filled with bitter, notice what bitterness brings. Look at it, verse 31. Lay aside all bitterness. What's next? Wrath, because bitterness leads to wrath. Get rid of wrath. Get rid of that rage. Wrath leads to what? Anger. Last week, remember? There's our attitude changing. I'm so full of anger. Then clamor. That word clamor, we don't use it very often, but it's just uncontrolled speech. You're certainly not, when you're full of bitterness, you're certainly not building people up that you're bitter at. You're tearing them down. And then that clamor leads to this evil speaking. It starts out with clamor, all right, this uncontrolled speech, but eventually it goes to evil speaking. You start slandering this person. You have no love for this person, and that slander leads to malice. And malice is simply put this way, a desire to injure. You can injure them with your tongue. Yeah, think about that. It may go beyond the tongue. That's how this root of bitterness can affect us. So here we go. Let's resolve bitterness. You know, brothers and sisters, thankfully, the Word of God not only identifies these walls, these strongholds that separate us from God, but it also presents us with a solution to these problems. So it shows us the problem, And now the Word of God will reveal or manifest how we get rid of it. How do we do it? Well, we acknowledge it. When people have problems in life, and they're confronted by someone with those problems, it could be an alcoholic, it could be a drug addict, it could be an abuser. Usually, 99% of the time when you confront that person, guess what they say? I don't have a problem. They go into that denial state, right? They deny they have a problem. So the first step out of this bitterness thing is admit it. Yes, I am. I've been full of bitterness and anger just for far too long. I've let people, I've let circumstances, I've let things in my life just eat away at my heart. Yep, that's me. One of the hardest things to do in overcoming bitterness is to admit that we're bitter. After we reveal it, after we acknowledge it, let's go to step two and remove it. Oh, Jim, that's what I've been waiting on. How do I remove this root of bitterness? All right? What do you do when you get a splinter in your finger? Do you let that splinter stay in there and just watch it day after day just fester and fester, start turning red? Let it get full of pus and infection. Is that what we do with... No, we don't do that. We get to... I remember my mom right now taking that needle, you know, just getting under my skin and, you know, pricking that splinter out. A lot of times I just do it this way. You know, yeah. Well, that's what we do. Why? Because we don't want infection to set up. That's why. Or worse. Well, wait a minute. So how are we going to do this... removing this bitterness thing? We do that, going back to the scripture at verse 15, by focusing on the grace of God shown toward us when he forgave us. That's how you get rid of it. You focus on God's grace that he has shown toward us. Let's look there at Hebrews 12:15 again. Lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Listen, after getting rid of this bitterness at verse 14, I'm sorry, at verse 41, lay it aside. Look at verse 42, that's back at Ephesians chapter 4. At verse 42. Now we saw all the negative in verse 41. Let's look at the positive in verse 42. Verse 42, be kind to one another. He didn't say be bitter to one another, did he? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Brothers and sisters, do you see how simple the cure is for bitterness? Are we willing to implement those traits, those characteristics, into our lives? I'm telling you, it's that simple. It is that simple. Lay aside the negatives. Implement the positives. I hope that's not too simple for some. Listen, for by one offering, Hebrews 10, if you'll just flip back a couple chapters. Hebrews 10, verses 14 through 18. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's us as Christians. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, look at verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them in their hearts. Then he adds it, verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, I'm pausing for a second to let that resonate. What has Hebrews 10 got to do with Hebrews 12? Well, we're talking about getting rid of bitterness, right? We've just seen by Ephesians 4:32 how to get rid of bitterness. to be tenderhearted, loving, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven us? Who wants to go to the judgment day full of bitterness? Do you think God or Jesus is going to pull out a list of all your sins? Aha, Carl, I remember this. Madison, I remember that. Dave, I remember that. Do you think that's going to happen at the judgment day? God forgave us, right? If God forgave us, can we forgive ourselves? Sometime, that's another sermon. Sometime. Have I forgiven myself? We'll say that, Lord willing. Replace it, brothers and sisters. Replace it. In Romans, Paul spends 11 chapters laying down the principle of justification by faith. In chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he makes the practical application of it. This is how you do it. You want to get rid of bitterness? This is how you do it. Trust in God. Listen to God's word. Lay aside those ugly things. All right? Get rid of those ugly things in your life. Apply or implement those positive things, those Christ-like traits into your life. And you know what you'll find? You'll find a changed person soon. I'm no longer full of bitterness. I'm free. I'm free of that bitterness that was eating me spiritually alive. I'm now a better person. I'm a better Christian because I put bitterness out of my life. If you're here this morning, you might be here and never obeyed the gospel, never had the remission of your sins of being baptized into Christ. This is your opportunity to become a New Testament Christian. Have all your past sins just wiped, erased, gone forever. If you need to do that, we're encouraging you to do that. But if you have done that, and yet, we have drifted away from God and His fellowship, little by little by little, I let the things of the world get inside of my heart. Yeah, I am full of bitterness. I just don't like the way life has treated me. I qualified that statement early in the introduction. Sometimes we self-inflict our problems on. Sometimes we're the culprit. I bring it on myself because of poor decisions. Listen, if you're away from God this morning because of poor decisions, God is a God of second chance. Think about that. You could have that decision wiped away. Now the consequences may not go away, but the freedom of your heart will be restored to you if you're willing to come to God on His terms. Confess your sins. Let us pray with you and for you. If that be the case, as we stand and sing the song, that's been selected.